that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, this is Darren Waller, tight end for the Las Vegas Raiders. I am the Wallerus, and you are listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Coo-coo-ka-choo!
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, July 26th.
It's not just any Tuesday. It's not.
No, it's just 26th.
It's not just any Tuesday the 26th. It's training camp day, baby. Every team will be at training camp today.
Oh, boy. Are you ready for it?
I am very ready for it. Let's, all of us.
From the reporters and the reports.
Yes, at this table. And those of us at the fourth seat of the table listening in, let's be discerning over the next few weeks.
There's going to be
a lot of stupid information coming out, and we're going to love it, and we're going to talk about it. And then let's just in one ear, out the other for most of this
stuff. I have my runes of protection.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah, I've got those on the players that I prefer. Not every look. They're only so powerful, man. I have to.
Put the runes on the players you want to hang around.
Yeah,
your dynasty roster.
I got to divvy them up for personal gain.
I thought we needed the runes to protect us from the false reporting.
Oh yeah, those two.
That would have been the smarter approach.
But I like.
But he used them all up on the players he liked.
I know. Well, the
get your own runes.
What I find is it's more believable to me the reports about my players doing well.
Yes,
and the other ones are easily dismissible.
Yes. Well, that's just coach speak.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll try to be objective. That's why there's three of us, because the one that is not objective can get corrected by the two that don't have that player on their team.
Yes.
So, welcome, man. Excited to be with you. We are almost to that part of the year where we are five shows a week. That begins in August, and. Lots to talk about, wrapping up our divisional breakdown episodes, AFC West on today's show. We have some news to talk about. We are also going to be live in Los Angeles. We've got a show this week, and yes. We have...
This is big.
A little announcement to make. Oh, wait. You said big. A big announcement to make.
Yeah. It's a big announcement about a little thing.
That's kind of true. There are a limited number of tickets that have now been made available to the LA live show. So we opened up a few more tickets. It had been previously sold out. We're getting really close to the show. We got a few more that we can open up. So you can go to ballerslive.com, grab them. It is very limited.
Yeah. If you're wanting to be there, I would pause the podcast and go do it right now.
Yeah. You're looking at your watch going, what time is this? Is this a Tuesday? I hope it's Tuesday when you're listening and you're in LA. 'Cause then you might be able to get some of the new tickets.
But
that will be awesome. It's going to be an Ice and Fire episode out there in LA that will release as the podcast on Monday. And so you'll be able to enjoy it even if you are not present and with us. But ballerslive.com if you want to grab those tickets.
Oh, yeah, because it comes out on Monday.
Yeah.
Because it's August.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Going to need some other runes. Runes of endurance. Yeah,
need those smelling salts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to come quick. And I'm looking forward to it. Twitter at the FF Ballers. You can follow Mike at FF Hitman, Jason at Jason FFL. I'm at Andy Holloway. You can watch the show, youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballers. Subscribe, click the bell. Jason did a questionably awkward wave.
He's letting people know there's a big summer blowout.
And then you can find the community at jointhefoot.com, where you can find Foot Clan Leagues and 17,000 like-minded fantasy football fanatics over there at jointhefoot.com. Let's jump into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, we got this news, I believe it was yesterday. Texans rookie wide receiver John Metchie III was diagnosed with acute promyelocytic leukemia, and will likely not be able to play football in 2022. Thoughts and prayers with John Metchie III as he just suffered an ACL tear to end his collegiate career and now has this hurdle. I believe he came out and said this is a treatable form of leukemia, and he will begin attacking that now.
Yeah, we hope for a very healthy recovery, obviously. He tweeted out in his personal message that he won't be playing football this year, so that's the most information we have for a Texans team that traded the 68, the 108, the 124 to move up and get him.
Yeah.
And a good player. I think a really good player.
Yeah, I think he's solid, and he'll hopefully be back strong with the team next year, and even now without him, their draft pick could be even better.
We have had a number of recent reports and player tweets about Raheem Mostert. A report from ESPN talking about him still recovering from a late season knee injury and maybe not ready for week one. Mostert himself has hit the Twitter sphere to say he's been cleared to practice and expressing his excitement about coming back from an injury that it sounded like maybe he wasn't going to be able to come back from.
Yeah, in his second tweet, he mentioned that the doctor said he might never step back on the football field, but he's very excited that he's gotten the clear, he's back, he's ready. This is a difficult injury he's coming back from. It is at an advanced age. He is, a 30-year-old running back. And so I am not optimistic in general, regardless of whatever news comes out, whether he is practicing, not practicing. I have not personally drafted him a lot anywhere. I believe, Andy, you're on the opposite side of that where you've gotten some shares.
I'm not. I've taken him nowhere.
Okay.
No, I have no belief in Raheem Mostert whatsoever this year.
Yeah, so, good that he's back. Obviously, he's reunited with Mike Daniel, who was the offensive coordinator where he excelled in San Francisco. But I think I believe this is Chase Edmonds' job.
It's a crowded backfield, if you're honest. Sonny Michel is there. Miles Gaskin is still on the roster, and you have Mostert mixed in. So I don't think Chase Edmonds has had – I think he's got like 5 career games with more than 13 carries. So maybe this means that Sonny Michel is going to have a more relevant role on this offense where he was pretty good in L.A. last year.
Sure.
Do you have any – is he a sneaky signing of any sort if you don't believe in Mostert?
No. Maybe if he's like the goal line running back, but I don't know that he totally fits what they want to do in Miami. I thought the signing was interesting. He'll be a name that I'll monitor, but I'm not like taking a late round shot on him. Not right now.
Obviously, with training camp opening up, you have a number of players that – from a medical sense, you're looking at what we knew of their injury and what it was during the end of the year, and then now the reality of it. Are they starting camp on the PUP? Are they recovered from these injuries? The expectations that we had for J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and players like that. James Robinson, Achilles injury, will not be placed on the PUP to start camp. They're hopeful he'll be cleared by mid-August. I believe I said on the show when we did this division that I just thought that James Robinson is going to be out there this year and relevant. How he carried the bulk of the offensive work for this team, and the videos I had seen of him working out were encouraging to me. He's very young, dealing with the injury, so I'm not saying that James Robinson is a fantasy relevant player necessarily, but he may be in as much as he takes away from Travis Etienne and other pieces of the offense.
Yeah, the Cam Akers timeline coming back from the same injury would certainly put him available for the beginning of the year. It was pretty surprising to have him not placed on the PUP to start training camp. So maybe there's a little bit of optimism. I know beat reporters around there still think that he is the primary running back, and medically we are pessimistic because the running back position does not have any history of success for fantasy after this injury ever.
What's interesting is that you bring up the Cam Akers timeline, is that regardless of Cam Akers' efficiency in those games, he had all the work.
Yeah.
So that's where you could get into a situation where you're like, hey, maybe he's not great for fantasy, but if they give him the bulk of the work, you know, it's not like Etienne's not coming off of an injury that's problematic as well. So,
well, the nice thing for James Robinson is he doesn't have to get any explosiveness back because he never had it. He's, you know, he's a vision.
That's so. That's just so rude.
It is. It's rude. I mean, like that was great, but he wasn't.
He had
an
some explosiveness
comparative to other running backs. No, not really, but an excellent player who has proven over multiple years now that he belongs in the league after his whole, you know, had to scratch and claw his way onto an NFL team. And for the way I'm looking at James Robinson, I'm still out. I'm willing to, like, I will take that loss if he comes back and he is great. Being healthy, like, enough to do all the things that we've seen on film and actually running into a 300-pound man and being able to do things on an NFL field, very different. So even if he
he's is, free though,
even if he's clear, well,
11, he's 11th round pick.
But there's still, guy, I don't believe it will happen. I don't think that he's going to have relevance.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think the cost is much. Well, if you need a running back late and you want to be surprised,
but it's not just the cost. It's also then the roster clog of like James Robinson comes out week one, gets 12 carries and two receptions, and it's like Mark Ingram from last year, where it's like so much volume that you're excited that you're like, okay, well, I got to hold on to him. But it's the output is just continues over and over to be so bad on it. While Cam Akers can have relevance because he's on the Rams, even if he's inefficient, because they're going to score a ton of points. The Jaguars, while they will be better than last year, they're not going to keep pace with the Rams in terms of scoring.
Counterpoint.
Okay.
Cam Akers has never really been fantasy relevant. James Robinson has done it for 2 years where he's been very good.
Fair enough.
Jameson Williams was placed, wide receiver for the Lions, placed on the non-football injury list. He is recovering from an ACL.
Yeah, I mean, nobody is expecting to see him for the beginning of this season.
All right. Other players placed on the PUP to start camp. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards.
Man.
Christian Watson. With an undisclosed injury, David Bell foot injury, Robert Tonyan with the ACL.
So number one, the Christian Watson one, that is, we got to see what happens when you're on the PUP and on the training camp. At any moment, you can come off. But if this guy misses, like a bulk of training camp, you better be wary about drafting Christian Watson, a rookie out of a small school, and thinking he's going to come in and produce. Gives me, you know, even more confidence that Alan Lazard will be the number one guy. And then the other big takeaway here is Dobbins on the PUP. When Ian Rappaport got to tweet out that J.K. Dobbins was, in fact, on the PUP,
there was a
twinkle in the eye when he did that of, like, my source was right.
If he could have bolded that name among the other players that he mentioned on Twitter, he would have done it.
I'm just making sure we're all aware of the scenario.
He kept it professional, though.
Yeah, of course.
I actually...
Wait, what? At the end when he was like, I told you, that wasn't very professional.
He deleted all that at the end. I will say this. I've taken Randall Cobb with like the last pick of best ball drafts multiple times in the past week.
And I have no problem with that. Like, if you're not in on Lazard... That's
you can be in on Lazard, and you can still take your shot there because, to me, Lazard is not about – he's not going to go up and put a Davante Adams season up.
Right.
And so there is going to be a void. Tonyan's on the PUP list. So you look around and you say, Aaron Jones, anybody?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And Julio then, Jones, anybody?
Yeah.
Possible. And then one more.
They did work out John Brown, by the way.
One more puff piece that came through, because speaking of what Andy was saying of when someone says something nice about a player, you're like, you got to talk about it.
Uh-oh.
But Tyler Allgeier, rookie running back for the Atlanta Falcons. Just a report coming out from The Athletic, Josh Kendall saying there is a scenario where he is the starting running back. It might come sooner than later. This is not necessarily sounding the horn of always draft Allgeier late, but he, at this point of the process, you need to know that name, be ready to strike if Allgeier gets more and more esteem heading into the season. I thought he was a fantastic prospect coming out of BYU. Didn't get the draft capital that we wanted, but 5'11", 224, he's a big bruising guy that, if he is the starter for the Falcons, I think has true value.
Yeah, I agree completely. He's one of the, you know, there's all these fourth round running backs that is like,
he was
you're hopeful, the, yeah. You know, these day three guys. But he was one of the few guys that I actually liked the tape. I was like, he looks good.
Damian Williams in the backfield. Cordarrelle Patterson will have his reps managed. That is what you're looking at in Atlanta. The offense will be interesting to watch there.
Let's get divisional.
Well, we've already done the NFC West, Mike, and so we're going to move on to the AFC West, which is our final opportunity to develop this, you know, wide-reaching drop. We're in the AFC West. we're going west. We're in the AFC West, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Chargers, the Broncos.
Like, Jason panders to just, like, the majority at large.
Sure, yeah, and Lions fans in particular.
Well, just whoever I'm in front of, to be fair.
And, I mean, we just checked the box for, like,
90s
25 contemporary guys out there.
Christian music, yeah. thank you, with the Michael W. Smith drop. Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos. How excited are you to discuss this high-flying division?
Very excited. I mean, this is the division, you know, not only that, but they're playing the NFC West. This is the division where you want the majority of players. There's no team that you talk about here that's a quick discussion or just like, move on.
Right.
You've got three great quarterbacks and a very solid offense in the Raiders. No, look, I'm not saying that Derek Carr's not a good quarterback.
He says that he's not great.
He doesn't deserve to be at the party with the other three.
Yeah,
not even as a plus one?
He could be a plus one.
Sure he
What if he's like...
He can come with Devontae.
Like, he's... Can he... Well, I was saying, like, if he rides along with Herbert, can he ride...
I mean...
Can he ride in the front?
Yes, he's allowed to go shotgun.
Okay.
He's, this is not an inside Derek Carr take at all, but he is not of the level of these other three quarterbacks in this division who can all be all-timers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think on an NFL level, he's probably viewed with less severe of a gap as the fantasy community would view him, but there's still a gap, obviously. You know, I'm not saying that he's a better NFL quarterback either, but he is a very good one.
A year ago, before Devontae Adams, before the new contract, there were rumors about, you know, trying to move on. He was lumped in with Ryan Tannehill of like a quarterback that could be replaced. Now you go and get his college teammate, get him a long-term contract. But we'll get to the Raiders surprisingly second.
Yeah, the Chiefs last year 12-5. They had a 12.5 projected win total going into the year, 5-3 in one score games, and lost in that battle with Cincinnati in the AFC title game. Their projected win total this year might surprise you.
As in low?
10.5.
Okay.
So to me, that is a that is not necessarily speaking to, oh, you lose Tyreek Hill. To me, that is speaking to the strength of the division and the improvement that Denver has made and the improvement that I believe Las Vegas has made, who won 10 games last year. So talking through the offense last year, fourth in points per game, third in total yards, second in pass attempts, sixth in passing touchdowns, we know the story. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. Travis Kelce, elite tight end target. But you can't start this discussion for fantasy football purposes without talking about an absence.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyreek Hill is no longer a member of the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill is one of one. There's not a player like him in the NFL. And we're going to see Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes put to the test, I think, this year to further develop this offense beyond an aging Travis Kelce and finding other consistent weapons and moving the football.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value to be had here. There's a question mark, right? Who is it? Where do you take your shot? And I think that there are legitimate arguments to be made with most of the players at the receiving in the receiving core. Juju Smith-Schuster has done it before.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill ran the slight majority of his routes from the slot. That's where a lot of his value came, and that's kind of where Juju lives. You have a bigger contract going to MVS, and then you have a rookie coming in Sky Moore. It's ironic with the Christian Watson news. On my underdog drafts, I've been drafting a decent amount of Christian Watson. I have not been drafting Sky Moore, and the reason is because when these rookie injuries pop up in camp, and Sky Moore has been dealing with a hamstring issue through like the OTAs and the rookie minicamp, I just feel like, oh, he's going to start a little bit behind, and Mahomes could click with someone else. But now to have training camps opening, and you have Christian Watson of the Packers on the POP dealing right. with some undisclosed injury, while now Sky Moore is good to go. It's interesting to me because, you know, Andy Reid is not afraid to use a rookie if the rookie is good.
And one of the things that I think is interesting, Mike, and you can speak to some of these other names, but what makes it difficult for me to analyze this offense for fantasy purposes is you legitimately have five names that are all associated with negative emotions in the fantasy world.
Sure.
Clyde.
Yeah.
Disappointment. Ronald Jones. Disappointment. Right? Juju. Disappointment.
Yeah.
MVS. Disappointment. So... And we've seen them bring in retreads before. We saw them bring in Sammy Watkins and try to get him involved. We've seen them bring in Josh Gordon and try to get him involved. So
LeSean McCoy.
There have been a lot of these formerly well thought of, but then have gone negative situations. And I say all that to say maybe Sky Moore is really a direction we should be pointing our attention to a little bit more. But I know that you are certainly bullish on MVS
right.
and his opportunity.
Yeah, I like MVS. Number one, I'm just following the actions of the team. He was the largest contract that they gave out for the wide receiver. Juju's isn't terrible if he can hit all his incentives, but it's a one-year prove-it deal for Juju, where MVS has, you know, some stability for a couple years to be with the Kansas City Chiefs. Marquez, yeah, I mean, questionable hands and things like that, I understand that, but still is insanely fast, and that's what this offense runs on. You need fast guys. The hard part here for me was Sky Moore, who I thought it's an outstanding prospect. Very excited that he went to the Chiefs for dynasty reasons, but like he's not big. He's 5'10", 195.
Yeah, but his hands are gigantic. Largest hands in the draft class, Mike.
Which that's great. That's really good stuff, but. Like where he is, wouldn't you project him as a slot wide receiver? And Juju, where he has had kind of the success, you know, in his later career here as a slot wide receiver, it's hard to see them both coexisting. And on top of that, for the Kansas City Chiefs, as insanely good as Mahomes has been for fantasy, you know, unlimited touchdowns, we have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Those are the people who have been fantasy relevant. It's been two monster performers, and every time we want to, we're hopeful that Mecole Hardman, this is going to be the year, he'll be the third piece. We've never had a third piece here for the Kansas City Chiefs. So then that factors into the decision making as well of which guy are you going to go in on.
Well, and Mecole Hardman's name didn't even get brought up, but he is on this roster.
Yes,
he is. And he has been talked up by Patrick Mahomes. Not that I read into any fantasy relevance, but it does show you that there's a pool of players that may be all intermixed, and it could be very difficult to find the next man up to start on a consistent basis. We never got consistency from Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson. If your name wasn't Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce,
exactly,
and that includes the backfield, you didn't know what you were getting on a weekly basis. So that is going to be a challenge. You know, Darrell Williams has gone out of this backfield. Clyde Edwards-Helaire should have plenty of opportunities.
Yes.
But, you know, when I watch Clyde Edwards play, he's a good player. Okay to good.
Sure.
He does not have elite game breaking ability, in my opinion. He doesn't have breakaway runs, breakaway catches. And those are some of the things, you know, you take Tyreek Hill out of this offense. Where are those coming for Patrick Mahomes, who was the quarterback one through week seven last year? We know what he's capable of, and we know the volume will be there pass attempts wise, but it's just going to be a very interesting situation throughout the beginning of the year.
Yeah, there's so much unknown here. And the nice thing is that historically these guys play in the preseason. Andy Reid is not one of those who sits as guys. So this is the team to watch in the preseason to figure out what's going on. I, in the backfield, I'm still taking shots on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's dropped to the sixth round. He could be supplanted by Ronald Jones. But Ronald Jones doesn't catch passes. There's vacated targets here. They're going to need to dump the ball to the running back a lot. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be the first man up. Late round flyers on Jerick McKinnon I'm fine with, because in the playoffs when Clyde Edwards-Helaire got back, and yes, he was off an injury, but he was available for two games, Jerick McKinnon ran ahead of him, averaged over 100 all-purpose yards per game in the playoffs and was outstanding. They brought him back on a nothing deal. Like, Jerick McKinnon might not make the roster, but I think late round he's fine. I'm not really in on Ronald Jones that much just because he's not a pass catcher. And I think he'll rip off some chunk plays, but is he going to be able to establish something great for fantasy if he's not catching the ball in a shared backfield? I don't think so.
Yeah, so Travis Kelce, you can lock him into your lineup and feel confident. You can take shots at some of these wide receivers knowing that the passing volume in this offense and the quarterback is elite.
At cost, who are you taking your shot on right now, Andy? You got to pick one from your redraft going into your normal, you know, the league of record. Who are you taking?
In half point?
Yes.
I guess I'll take my shot with Juju.
Mike.
MVS.
Yeah.
I am Juju as well.
Yeah, it's close, though. I definitely, you know, do you want explosive plays? You're probably not getting those from Juju. But you could get touchdowns.
Yes,
so
I was
you could be all right there.
That's where it comes down to. Juju could be 850 yards, 12 touchdowns. Yeah. Like, it could be an outrageous season for him.
So you've got Rojo on a 1 year, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe so,
And you got Juju on a 1 year.
Yeah.
This is going to be exciting. Quick break, back with the Raiders. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Las Vegas Raiders were, I think impressively 10-7 last year, going through so much tumult in this offense.
They were, and this is something I didn't realize, because they were, you know, a solid team last year, 10-7. Do you know their point differential?
I'm guessing it was not impressive.
It was negative.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, 12-5, a point differential of 116. The Raiders, second in the division, 10-7. Minus 65.
Yeah, I mean,
that is a stat that comes back to bite you in the butt.
So does 7-2 in one score games. So
that's where it is.
You know, and it's reflected again, and the win total is at 8.5, which is down from where they finished. They trailed in 15 of their 17 games, but still made the playoffs.
Impressive.
So there was a lot, but you look at it and you say, hey, you overcame to a degree, right? Like those close games, despite a head coaching change.
I'd say, and a crazy season with the management.
So last year they were 23rd in pace of play, 18th in points per game, 11th in total yards, 7th in pass attempts, 6th in passing yards. Didn't run the ball a ton, which was, you know, that's one of those things you were going into the season every year with the Raiders and saying, here's what John Gruden always does, right? He loves to establish it. Back when they had Marshawn Lynch and Josh Jacobs around the goal line, this was the establish it offense. But now you come into the season with the biggest free agent or trade acquisition that you've ever had, Davante Adams. He arrives and he stayed, unlike Antonio Brown, who arrived and they never got to see it. So I don't think those pass attempt numbers can go down this year for Derek Carr. I think they are going to necessarily be very high. Davante Adams will demand a ton of targets. They have great weapons, and this is a defense that's not good enough to put them in a position to not throw the ball a ton in this division.
No, they did add Chandler Jones to the defense. They actually have some great pass rushers in this division as well, but their defense isn't good enough to put them in constant leads in this division. They're going to be throwing a ton, and when you've got Hunter Renfro as your third option, he's going to be torching, you know, nickel corners. Darren Waller can't be double teamed anymore.
Oh, baby! Goo-goo-ga-choo!
Great friend of the show. So I do think that all three of these pieces are quality. I find myself more down on Davante Adams than consensus rankings, than where he goes in underdog drafts. I don't see him. You know, a lot of people have him as that three, maybe even that fourth player. And statistically, I think he'll be very good. He'll command the targets. I just don't know if the touchdowns are going to come his way the way that they have historically with Aaron Rodgers and the way that you need to replace that draft position. But is that foolish? Because you could argue he's the best wide receiver in the entire NFL.
Well, let me read you some numbers, Jason. 22, 19,
okay.
21, 27, 23.
Okay, so some of those people can drink. Some of those people can't drink.
That's right. That's it. That's okay. What I was explaining. Now, those are the touchdown totals for Derek Carr over the last 5 years. So when you have pause about Davante Adams' production, it's on the back of, look, you've got quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is a guy that can throw 35, 40 touchdowns in a year. Derek Carr has yet to show us that. His career high in touchdowns is 32. It was his second season in the NFL. So, you know, it's not disrespectful to Derek Carr or talking about Derek Carr to say, you're not in the other echelon with the three quarterbacks in this division, because you've never produced on that level or even close to it, especially from a touchdown total. You know, 23 touchdowns in 17 games last year. You know, if you're throwing barely over one touchdown a game, is it Renfro that game? Is it Darren Waller that game? There are reasons to have pause with the upside of Davante Adams. I think PPR-wise, this guy's catching 10 passes more often than not. But, yeah, I mean, you have a PPR weapon in Hunter Renfro, another third-down weapon. So I think it's fair. I do think he'll be good, but I think you could end up burned.
Where do you have Davante Adams right now?
What a great question. We have Davante Adams.
He's sitting at 5 for me.
And 5 for Jason.
So
I've met 3.
Jefferson, Kupp, Diggs, and Jamar Chase. I have those guys ahead of Adams.
Yep.
And then Mike Evans is right behind him.
That's exactly how it is for me. Those gotcha. Four are in a different tier, though, for me. Like, you know, a lot of people see the Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase as a tier. I think Stephon Diggs is in that tier to me personally. And then it's it's a pretty big gap to me to go down to Davante Adams. And honestly, when you look at Davante Adams and Mike Evans, you know, Mike Evans could easily outscore him if even with far fewer receptions. If you're talking Mike Evans ends the season with 14, 15 touchdowns, and Davante Adams ends with 8 touchdowns.
I think Adams will catch 50 more passes than Mike Evans.
Okay.
In this offense. But I have him ahead of Ja'Marr Chase, and some of it is going to be about what do you want? Like, Davante Adams is going to be very, very consistent in terms of a baseline of production, even if he doesn't score a bunch. Whereas Ja'Marr Chase is going to have these explosive games. There may be T. Higgins type of games. Those guys are neck and neck to me. Stephon Diggs is in that mix. But I do have Adams higher than you two guys have him. Derek Carr, people want to know, will this rise the water level for Derek Carr? And it's certainly possible, but what is that? Is it 30, 33 touchdowns?
That's what I was going to say. So Derek Carr last year completed 428 passes, 4,800 yards, still was not a top 12 quarterback. And for him to just get to like quarterback 10, he needed like 7 more passing touchdowns last year to add onto those numbers, because he doesn't do the other fantasy relevant stuff. And that's how points are scored in fantasy. Running is rewarded more than throwing 4,800 yards. So can Davante Adams take him from where the touchdowns that he had last year over that 30-32 threshold? Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it's a little bit of a chicken or the egg question, right? We talk about, he hasn't been throwing a lot of touchdowns last year, you know, 23 touchdowns. But he also had only Hunter Renfro for...
Yeah, Waller was pretty banged up.
You know, for some of those lost Henry Ruggs. You know, a little bit of chicken or the egg. But this isn't going to change him into a first ballot Hall of Famer. So if he gets up 28-29 touchdowns, I think that's reasonable.
28's where I have him.
I believe that he is a fantastic quarterback two in a super flex league. You know, people aren't clamoring over themselves to get Derek Carr unless you're, you know, in a Raiders type league. But I think he'll be solid with these three weapons, not great.
I think that's fair summation. Never had a 3-touchdown game last year.
Yay.
Which was crazy. You look at other pass catching weapons, Renfro will not be what he was last year. The volume was
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, Waller right now, I mean, look, if there's injuries, sure. But Renfro should be you're in a full PPR league, he's going to get his. The touchdowns will be hard to come by with the weapons they have now. And you look at the backfield.
Yes.
Look, Josh Jacobs, the pendulum swinging so far, I'm starting to be more in on him at his draft position. I know Brooks, you know, on our last mock or a couple mocks ago, your favorite pick of the draft was a later Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, darn right.
So,
darn right from Brooks.
I mean, watch just the potty mouth. He might have more opportunities with Adams there. Just the offense is better. I think there's a lot of upside there.
It's very difficult because Josh Jacobs is. Wait, what are we cackling about?
Well, you said, what did you say to Brooks just now? You said watch the language.
Yeah.
You know, Al Borland and I were in a pickleball tournament this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And one of us got a verbal warning
for our language. It was not you.
It actually was.
Oh, yes! Yes!
I had to argue with the ref, though. I still insist I said shoot. But it's in debate. I've never been publicly warned. Like, I guess we could have given up a point or something. But
what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, get out of here.
I know.
But back to Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, he's going 4-11 right now, almost in the fifth round in certain leagues.
But even still, he has been solid. Like, at the end of the year, I mean, he's been a top 20 running back each of his 3 years, running back 8 in 2020. The pass catching, like, the receptions were finally there this past year. But now you have a whole new scheme. You have a whole new system here, and Josh McDaniels is bringing probably that Patriot running back system over here. And, I mean, didn't we have recently a reporter was saying
they'll probably rebuild the whole...
Like, be very, very careful for fantasy football because they're going to have the specialized situations for all of these running backs. I mean, of all of them, Jacobs profiles as the goal line running back. So, like Brooks, you're talking about, your hope is that the scoring opportunities are there. Then Jacobs is in play for me. But with Kenyon Drake, looks like he is back. They've made some other additions for the into the running back room. Like, they brought Brandon Bolden over there with them.
I know, but I
drafted Zamir White.
I lean on the some of that stuff's going to end up smoke because Josh Jacobs was a 64 target running back last year. He's good in that aspect of the game.
We've begged for it for years.
He's never not been a top 20 running back.
Yeah.
And you start looking, you know, you started talking about specialization. I'm starting to think of, you know, Josh Jacobs and where is where's Antonio Gibson going in drafts? What's his ADP, Kyle? Do you have it?
Right around there.
Right around the same spot.
So, I mean, when you look at that, which guy do you lean? Which direction do you lean? Where Gibson's probably a first and second down guy. He's been dealt with more injuries than Jacobs has. And the offense in Las Vegas should be much better than it is in Washington. Where do you lean between those two players?
It's really tough because when you bring those two names up, I lean towards Gibson just naturally wanting the
youth,
the more youth, supreme athlete. Young. They're both decently youthful, although it does feel different. But when you
decently youthful,
when
you lay, you're decent on the youth side.
When you lay out the two situations and you say, okay, well, Antonio Gibson has really been a touchdown guy. That's where his
they're
fantasy
the same
values,
age, by the way. They're both exactly youthful.
They're decently. They're decently youthful. The situation, who's going to catch more passes, is almost certainly going to be Josh Jacobs. Who gets more touchdown opportunity, that could be a coin flip between them. So it's funny because I don't look at those guys with the same outlook, like my optimism, but I think Josh Jacobs might be a better pick. That being said, this is the area of drafts where I'm generally not drafting running backs because there's great wide receivers and there's these question mark running backs where you could go, okay, well, he's always been, you know, a top 20 guy, but I don't think he's going to continue an upward trajectory in receiving when you add Davante Adams and have Darren Waller healthy. And, you know, last year we just talked about you lose Ruggs, you don't have Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro's your main guy. Well, of course Josh Jacobs caught more passes.
Right. No, it's fair. And he was the RB14 last year, and he missed two full games. So he had a good season. He's being drafted at RB23. So for perspective
I have him
sake,
ranked higher than that. So
yeah,
I guess
okay.
ADP-wise, I'm in. But, I mean, those running back in the dead zone in that fourth round, it historically is – doesn't work out very well for most of those running backs.
Are you in on Darren Waller in the fourth round?
Yes.
Okay. Jason has more of a maybe not.
Yeah, I do think he's
face.
Going to be.
A maybe not face.
It is a maybe not. I do think Darren Waller will be very good. He's my tight end six right now. I think he'll have enough receptions. I don't want to take a guy who doesn't have a chance to be the difference maker at that position in the fourth, fifth round. Like, when I'm taking one of those high-end tight ends, I want a guy that I think could finish the year as the tight end one. And I don't think Darren Waller could do that with Davante Adams on the team, so I would rather go late round. But that's not saying I think he's going to have a bad season. I just don't think he's got the upside worthy of his draft capital.
The Chargers were 9-8 last year. They hit their projected Vegas win total from 2021. It's up to 10 this year for Los Angeles. And there's a lot of continuity. The head coach, the offensive coordinator, the wide receivers, the running backs, they're all back. The offensive line improved. They want to protect their gym.
What if they don't win this year? I mean, this is a team
any
that...
Any games?
No, I'm just saying, like, this is a team that last year was everybody's
and you gotta
dark
get to
horse.
10.
Everybody's dark horse, you know, Super Bowl pick. They're going to be people's Super Bowl pick again this year, and... they've got the great next big thing in Justin Herbert, but it's a tough division. If they don't make the playoffs again.
Yeah, there's some stagnation issue there. But we're not going to talk about negatives here, Jason. We're going to talk about positives.
Okay. They're going to win the Super Bowl.
Second in pace of play, fifth in points per game, fourth in total yards, third in pass attempts, second in passing yards.
Juicy.
Look, yeah. Staley is the hero we all deserve.
I mean, Justin Herbert finished on fire. He was the quarterback three at 8 straight top 12 weeks in a row. He has the most completions, attempts, passing yards, passing touchdowns for any quarterback through the first 2 years in the NFL. He's completing, I think, as a rookie, 66% of his passes last year, right at that same number.
crazy.
He has been absolutely unstoppable and a delight for fantasy players. And so you don't need us necessarily to tell you about the staples of this offense. Justin Herbert, great quarterback, going in the late third. I don't really mind it that much. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams.
Oh, man.
Both great receivers in a great offense. And Austin Eckler last year was the RB4. He had 20 red zone touchdowns.
Yeah, 8 receiving touchdowns, which he has, in fact, done before. I would still bet against that. Eckler is, I feel like Austin Eckler is one of the hardest decisions of the first round to me, because if you get anything close to what he was last year, you've returned easily on that first round pick, and you were just so happy about it. But like, comparing him and the volatility that I think could be there with the addition of Isaiah Spiller coming in, the Chargers have, with their actions, have said they really want a compliment to Austin Eckler. They don't want it to be the situation it was last year. And there's a lot of people that love Spiller, despite him being a day three pick. But can, like, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, like, these guys are going to be high-end, locked in, minimal risk. How do you compare that to taking Eckler in the first round?
Well, it's a fair question. I think there's some hesitation for people about it.
Yes, I've just.
And you said that with their actions, the Chargers, you know, went out and got Isaiah Spiller. It's also their words. They went out and talked about his versatility, how often he was out there on third downs, pass protection in college. He was a player who on film I really loved. But the draft capital brought pause about him. Those are the names I actually wanted to talk about, was in particular the new additions. Isaiah Spiller in the backfield. Josh Palmer, who even this morning, a news alert about him establishing himself as the wide receiver 3.
We got a best friend narrative going on. And not best friend, but
like coffee?
But just
okay, no donuts? Coffee.
That he's always the one at the end of trade practice is over. He's out there repping with Herbert.
Okay, well, that's meaningless.
That's not breakfast. No,
it's
not
breakfast. It's got to be sharing a meal. This has to be outside of football.
Or some froyo or something.
This is where it starts, though, fellas. Your practice is over. You're getting some reps. Hey, you want to
go get some?
Dude, you want to? We should get a smoothie.
Oh yeah,
we should smoothie up.
If they
you got to do that for 3 days in a row.
3 smoothies, you're on fire.
Because it's got to be a routine.
Yeah, 100%.
Cooper Kupp and Stafford, they were not getting breakfast once a week.
No, right. that's they're doing everything together. They live next door to each other. A lot of people don't know that now.
But then the other name, I'm going to throw Gerald Everett, because I was setting the table for you. All the new additions to this offense that was so powerful.
Yep, I love it. Let's keep on Isaiah Spiller for a second, because he was a person that most all projections had him projected to go in the second round for most of the year. His production was great in college. I liked his film a lot. Andy did. Mike did not like his film quite as much. But he was someone that was projected.
I saw Mike as a day three guy.
Sure. And then he ran slow at the combine, and that crushed his draft capital. He plummeted in the draft. But the fact that he is a bigger bodied three down back coming in, I think they're going to use him a good amount. So this, I don't view him as someone that is going to ruin Austin Eckler. I don't think he's going to come in and take 8 touchdowns away from Eckler, and Eckler's going to be a bust of a first-round pick. I do view him as someone that could have a little bit of standalone value just because of how good this offense is if he ends up being the other main guy. If they basically go to a two-back system, and then obviously in this world of running back health, should something happen to Eckler, Isaiah Spiller is interesting. So as a 10th-round flyer, in your double-digit rounds, I'm fine drafting Isaiah Spiller, even though I don't usually love day 3 NFL draft capital picks at running back.
Yeah, and I mean, I can keep the question simple. Are any of the new arrivals or up-and-coming players outside of Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams going to make a fantasy impact? Are you going to get value from Gerald Everett at the tight end position?
He is interesting. What's difficult for Everett is that you have like 3 high-end known pass-catching options between Eckler, Allen, and Williams. But he checks some of the boxes of like what you're looking for. We know that the tight ends last year had a 21% target share. it was Cook last year, right?
Remember? Yeah.
Jared Cook last year, and just, I mean, he was done. Gerald Everett is not done. He's like a very gifted athlete, and he's now tied to an offense that's going to have 40-plus passing touchdowns. So he's one of the sneaky late-round guys that I'm okay drafting.
Yeah, it's one of those. So I talked about I don't take Waller just because of the sacrifice of the running back or wide receiver there. I've gone many drafts and used my last pick in the draft. If Cole Kmet falls, which some leagues he does.
Yeah, I'd rather have Kmet.
Sure, I would too in most home leagues. But he, you know, in underdog where, you know, we've talked about drafting maybe three late tight ends, he is my highest exposure player right now at 34.8%.
Wow.
So I think the touchdowns come. I don't know that you can necessarily easily in your home league project which week he's going to get touchdowns, but he could, you know, Dawson Knox last year was a late round guy who just caught a ton of touchdowns from Josh Allen.
Guy.
And that's kind of what I could see happening for Gerald Everett.
I think it's a really good comparison with Dawson Knox. There's an article on the website, Gerald Everett, A History of Tight Ends Coming Out of Nowhere for Fantasy, you can check out if you want to read more about Everett's upside. It's hard with Gerald Everett because he's not delivered on some pretty good offenses in the past. There was optimism around, you know, Russ last year, too.
He's had a lot of letdown.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same as what Jared Cook was doing for years. I mean, who was their tight end last year, who currently I don't think has a job.
Correct.
So we'll see. I do like Josh Palmer, but I think Everett, Palmer, Spiller, these are guys that are going to be intermittently relevant for fantasy. I think we as a trifecta are highest in the industry on Mike Williams as a whole. I think he can end up definitely a top 10 wide receiver this year. He's not just a big play guy anymore. He does have those, but his average depth of target, he was a much better intermediate route runner last year. He was a much more reliable third down target. He did have a tale of two seasons, really. He came and set a standard for himself that was unmatchable for the rest of the year.
There was that, and just the way that they were using him in play calling was they changed it up in the middle of the season. Maybe they'll go back to where he was having such success, but he will have ebbs and flows, absolutely, but I think you'll be at his ADP, I'm all in.
Yeah, and what happened last year too with Mike Williams was he came out, made a statement for fantasy, and then he dealt with some injuries that were limiting him. They weren't taking him off the field, but it was limiting him, and you didn't see consistency until the end of the year when he came up big in big games again, that amazing shootout with the Las Vegas Raiders. I think you're going to see – they came out and they said, hey, we're going to give you a pile of money for 3 years and make you an important part of the offense.
I forgot. He had 17 targets.
Yeah.
I'd like that every week, please.
I draft him almost every single time I'm in a draft because I just have him finishing much higher than where he's being taken. The Broncos were dead last in the division, but at a, you know, not so bad 7-10. They came into the season with an 8.5 projected win total, but Drew couldn't lock that down. And
Hey-o.
We ended up with, 7 wins. They started the season 3-0, but it was against the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets, which if I could play them.
The three J's.
Yeah.
As we call them.
Oh, boy. But it was not fun. It was not fun watching the Broncos last year. This was 71% of their games hit the under. It was bad football, terrible offense.
That one week with Javonte, that was pretty fun.
31st in pace of play, Mike. 24th in pass attempts, 23rd in points per game, and none of it matters because they're coming into the season with a 10-game projected win total and a new quarterback, none other than Russell Wilson.
Unlimited.
What a dork.
Dude,
the tweet when I text you phone emoji, that means we're dialed in. Like, what?
Please don't tweet anymore.
Where's his PR people?
He doesn't have any. He fired them.
Clearly.
All. Well, he hired himself. He puts a hat on. He's like, let me ask my PR department.
He is the type of person that would absolutely put a different hat
Unlimited.
On. Like that. Like you joke, but I'll bet he has got at least a spot in his house where he does this type of thinking.
It's where I'm going to do my tweets.
Well, I mean, he's unlimited in his skills and abilities. And the truth is, as fun as it is to poke fun.
And it's fun.
He brings a completely new offense to the table in Denver. They are, I mean, we've said it for a year and a half. The pieces that they were putting around their quarterback, it was like,
yeah,
why not go to Denver? Anybody that wanted out of where they're at, why not go to Denver and play with two outstanding running backs in Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon? You know, a wide receiver room that's got Cortland Sutton, who's a 6'4 behemoth, Jerry Jeudy, super talented, young, up and coming wide receiver, Tim Patrick, who all, you know,
Fireball Jones.
It's ironic because he's just old reliable, really. He's just such a reliable target. And then, you know, KJ Hamler, if he gets involved at some point during this season as a burner, you got good tight ends. Albert Agoyabanam, Greg Dulcich. It's all there for Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. and he's been in the kitchen.
Ooh.
Getting ready to cook, man.
Yeah.
So this is the Russell Wilson story to me. That's where my fantasy focus really is. It's on Russell Wilson and what that ceiling could really be. He's drafted as the QB9.
Right.
That seems like the pick. Like, Russ is starting to stand out as the quarterback pick in fantasy this year.
I am starting to move that way as well. Like, okay, quarterback 9. Historically, yeah, he did not hit it this year because he got the hand injury, came back. Maybe too early, but
for sure too early. Okay. Like, I don't want the narrative to be like, if you don't remember,
yeah.
He got this hand injury where he was supposed to be out a long time, but he's Russell Wilson, so he's like, I won't be out a long time. I'm back, and there's no problem with my hand, except I will not throw it like you've ever seen me throw the ball before. I have no accuracy, and I suck, but just it's definitely not the hand. I mean, he was not himself at all. That hand injury was legit, and Russell Wilson
for all the
jokes and they won't ever stop. Dude is such a good quarterback.
Yeah. So quarterback 9, you'd have to go back to his rookie season for a time that he was not quarterback 9 or better.
I mean, he's going to dominate.
He's so outrageously good. He's in an offense that is not being, you know, the caboosed by Pete Carroll trying to bring his 1980s. Establish the run offense, and you got Nathaniel Hackett. Like, you have some really interesting stuff coming in here from a play calling perspective. I am with you, Andy, that the more time goes on and that Russ continues to stay at what I consider to be an 8 AP budget, I'm going to be trying to draft him everywhere.
It is not unreasonable to make the comparison to Peyton Manning's arrival in Denver.
Yeah,
where
I agree.
You had a Demaryius Thomas that had not reached his potential. You had an Eric Decker. You had Sanders. Julius Thomas that had came out of nowhere.
Right.
Emmanuel Sanders. You know, you're in a division where two of the three teams you're playing against were 26th and 29th in points against. So there's four matchups that are juicy just right out of the gate. So there's a lot of, like, at QB9, could Russ finish the quarterback 1? Yes, he could.
Yes, I think he can.
So you're kind of almost looking at that value of where can you draft somebody that can be the breakout wide receiver or quarterback candidate. And Russ has a lot to prove.
Sure.
Running the offense that way, and maybe more interceptions come his way. That might not matter. And he can still move and give you 300 on the ground. So, you know, we'll probably debate all offseason on what we think that means for the wide receiver room. I expect this to be the Russell Wilson party. Everyone's invited.
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't just invite Cortland to the party, but Cortland is being drafted the highest of the wide receiver options. So actually, is that not true? Is Jeudy past him? They're very neck and neck, depending on where you're drafting. So who do you prefer? I mean, Mike, you're on Team Sutton.
I am on Team Cortland Sutton. I know it's been a few years since we've seen Cortland Sutton from the breakout year, but just remember the story of Cortland. It was, I mean, high draft capital, second year, has a true breakout campaign with essentially Joe Flacco, the one who is supplying all of that. We're excited for him headed to the next year. Tears his ACL. So that this past year of 2021, that was his first year back from the ACL recovery, and we know that generally when a player, their first year back off the ACL, you can expect a dip in production. Look at Allen Robinson, very similar. Allen Robinson tore his ACL in week one for the Jaguars. Comes back, is not, he doesn't put up huge numbers, and then the following two seasons was a top 10 wide receiver. And so I just, with his skills and ability matching with what Russ does, like Cortland Sutton is, while he's big and huge, like he's also a deep field guy. Like his A-dot is fantastic. So that's where I prefer to go. And that is not me saying I'm out on Jerry Jeudy. It's just that you got to pick between the two of them, and I pick Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I don't believe you have to pick between the two of them. I think that they can both be great.
Are you gonna draft them both?
That's
what I mean.
Sure. If they're right next to each other, they're on the clock. I'm going Cortland Sutton first, but I am in on both players. I don't personally see this as one of those situations where every single decent weapon is going to be involved. I think Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy are a tier above. We saw this in 2020 where both Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf were top 12 wide receiver options. And that year, you know, they had David Moore as a field stretching guy who got some bomb touchdowns, and you'll have Tim Patrick have some stuff. But I think that those are the two pieces that I want. I have a lot of shares of both Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. They play different roles, but I'm in on them personally.
Well, there's been talk too of Jerry Jeudy being, I'm curious what the two wide receiver sets will look like in Denver. Because I think there's a decent chance it's going to be Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick on the outside when there's just two wideouts out there, which will not be very often.
Yeah,
but
different. This is Hackett coming in, so.
But we'll see. I don't know. I don't want to throw Tim Patrick by the wayside, which is what they do in drafts, because he has been a really reliable pass catcher, and he's free. So you can pay up for Jerry Jeudy. You can pay up for Cortland Sutton. Or you can have a free Tim Patrick. And, you know, Russ's agenda is not a name to fill out. His agenda is, you know, to get the ball into the end zone. And he's always shown that he's willing to do that with whomever. And then you have Javonte and Melvin, who are – it's tough. It's tough because Javonte is being drafted well ahead of Melvin Gordon, and yet you know you're going to roll your eyes and be frustrated if you take Javonte Williams – at important key situations, goal line situations, third downs, where you're wishing he was out there and he won't be.
I it's really weird with the gap between these two players. You're talking about a back of the second round versus a ninth round pick that I actually am fine with taking both of these guys, not necessarily on the same team.
Sure.
But it's one of those things where I think the upside of Javonte, where he's being drafted, there's been times where I'm drafting him ahead of even where I have him ranked. Just because you see the pathway. Should he get the lion's share? Should a Melvin Gordon injury happen? He has talent like very few NFL players have. So I don't have any problem taking that shot on a young, up-and-coming superstar running back. But at the same time, the value is much better on Melvin Gordon, who probably will be in at least a 40% timeshare here. And he's going as the running back 37, despite being great last year.
Yeah, it makes for a difficult decision. We wanted the clear path when Melvin was a free agent. We had the clear path, and Javonte would have been a much higher pick.
Yeah, he would. He would have been a first round pick.
So, Mike, are you willing to pay up for that Javonte price?
I am. I've done it in a couple spots already. When it comes to running back, you want youth, talent, and like all the boxes are checked here. I get that Melvin Gordon will be involved, but new regime. Here, so we're not exactly sure how the timeshare will shake out. But Javonte is just so good. I mean, sixth in forced missed tackles. He is an elite running back to me.
I think it's more than just you. I think it's an NFL player consensus that he is in that upper echelon from a talent side. I think he's a top five talent.
I'll
put it that way.
Yeah.
Who wins the division? This one is the most fun to bring to the table here. Who wins the AFC West? Sponsored by Michael W. Smith.
I really want say Denver, because I think they've got the most talented roster front to back. But
are in control of whether you say it or not.
Yeah. So much, you know. I'm gonna go Denver then. I will take Denver.
Okay, Jason, officially Denver. Mike.
I'll take Denver.
I will make a decision.
On next episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
It's difficult. I guess I will say the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
I was between those two.
Yeah, but then I want to say Chargers. Too.
Everyone like, wants to say Chargers.
Toughest player to project.
And my ticket stub wants it to be the Raiders.
Right. toughest player to project in the division.
I have a hard time with Zamir White, knowing what they're going to do with the running back situation and with Josh Jacobs. I feel like I have no idea what to do with him. Rookie running back for the Raiders.
Okay. And Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, I was going to say Renfrow.
The dude can ball, but the math of Darren Waller getting 20-plus percent, Devontae Adams should see 25, maybe 30% of the targets. It's hard to see it happening.
All right, and a sneaky player to add for maybe a dynasty league. I'll throw Jalen Guyton out there, wide receiver for the Chargers. Everybody's going to be in on Josh Palmer in a dynasty league. So Jalen Guyton will probably have his games this year. He is a burner. He's been on the receiving end of some absolute moon balls from Justin Herbert.
Please go. I've got the best one.
Oh.
Save it for last.
Okay. I'm going to Greg Dulcich, tight end for the Denver Broncos, who he's tied to Russell Wilson now for his rookie contract.
Physically?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, three-legged race champions.
And for me, I'm going to go with a superstar.
Uh-oh.
Justin Watson.
Oh, my
God. Oh, yeah.
Is he in this division?
Is he in this division?
I literally have no idea what
Justin
team
Watson
is on. What team is he on?
On the Kansas City Chiefs has gotten so much smoke. The latest athletic report.
The latest athletic report had him making
the roster.
Had him making the roster?
Justin Watson, baby, a superstar.
All right, that is it for today's show. Back on Thursday. Take care.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.